because we got this now.
One, two. One, two.
Wonderful. Come. Just don't get closer. I won't.
Stay where you are. All right. Yes. Hallelujah.
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 Are we good to go?
Yeah.
Hey, people, them. Welcome back to another episode of The Point Podcast with your boys, Michael Lee, Afolabi Bolarinwa, and Enoch Mukasa.
I really put my full name out there.
So, yeah, it's about time. It's been a minute.
It has been a minute, man.
We have been...
Why has it been a minute, though?
I've been travelling.
Travelling.
I've been travelling.
I've been working.
People been working. We've all got busy schedules.
Busy life.
We're back now, which is the most important thing.
But where'd you go? Because you didn't... We haven't even really talked about that since you...
Oh, yes.
You've been back.
Yes. So I went to Sri Lanka for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Came back for 2 weeks, and then went to Japan for 2 weeks for my 25th birthday.
How was Japan? I really want to know about Japan.
Japan was amazing. The culture is so cool.
Is it like Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drift? Is it like that?
You know what? Yes. Do you know how I felt? Yeah. I felt like I was in one of them ninja games when I was a child that I used to play. Like, yeah. you know when you got like a racing game, or you've got like a fighting game, and you go to Tokyo, like level, yeah?
Yeah.
It's exactly like that. Like,
yeah.
It's so bright, lights everywhere, the people are very friendly,
mm-hmm.
There's loads and loads of people. I think Tokyo has like 38 million people in the city alone.
Wow.
So imagine London, yeah, has seven or eight.
Yeah.
But 38 million people.
Everyone must be living in shoeboxes then.
Fam, do you know what? There's a lot of towers, there's a lot of like large estate blocks, but like really nice ones.
Mm-hmm.
The transport was sick. There's never a late train. The food was amazing. The people are just nice. People are just really, really nice there. So
you see in Tokyo Drift, yeah? You see where he had to live in that like little pretty much shoebox?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was staying in.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. Capsule, like a capsule thing. Fam, yeah. I won't lie to you, yeah? I felt like, why don't I have this in London? Like, why don't I actually have this at home?
Yeah,
because it's like you're in a small shoebox.
Shoebox.
But you got your charger in there, you got your clothes hang off of your jacket, you got your bed, you got like everything.
Mm-hmm.
And like the hostel that we went to the first time, big up Kelvin, me and him went. They gave us like a free phone that we could use, unlimited international calls, local calls, all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, they're really efficient over there, man.
I feel as if Japan are in the future.
They are,
even though they're in 2018. Like everything about them is so innovative and futuristic, even like their bullet trains. Like I look at them, I'm like, wow, we ain't even got that here.
Bullet trains are madness. Yeah. They're so fast, they're on time. Like you're going miles and miles and miles, and you get there in like an hour and a half or something like that. It's so sick.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just feel as if that everything is just different in Japan.
Did you go to that
crossing thing as well? That really famous
Shibuya Crossing.
I went to
Shibuya Crossing.
Yeah,
we was there. That's where Oxford Street got their diagonal crossing from.
Really?
Yeah. So that was famous. There's like tens of thousands of people cross that every day.
Is that in Tokyo?
That's in Tokyo, yeah.
Okay.
So Tokyo is made up of different districts. So you've got like Shinjuku, Shibuya, Kagurazaka, all of these different places. But the Shibuya crossing.
Kawasaki as well, yeah?
Kawasaki. Where is Kawasaki? Someone called me Mr. Kawasaki the other day. I was like, what's that?
That's a motorcycle company.
Oh, is it? Okay, well, then. My bad.
I called you that as well.
Yeah, it was you. I was like, who called me? One thing I say about Japan as well, it's not a go there one time place.
Yeah.
If someone said they're going there next week, I would go with them.
Like, really?
If someone offered me a job to go there for a year, I would happily do it.
Wow.
Because when we was out there, we was me with too. One of Kelvin's boys, Jordan, big up Afro in Japan, follow him on Instagram. He, Jamaican guy, went to move out to Japan just because he did a year during uni in Japan because he studied Japanese as part of his course.
Mm-hmm.
And then he decided that he wanted to go back and live. So he's been living there for like 2 years. took us around. We met one Japanese guy when we was out there, and the he was speaking full on fluent Japanese with the guy. And we were like, what were you lot talking about? Basically, the old Japanese man was asking him, does his hair naturally grow like that? Because he's got an afro. He's like, oh, is it a perm or, you know, is it? So they're really respectful. Like, they're not, do you know what I mean?
Wow.
And they were like, the Japanese guy was asking him about us, if we're like, if our hair grows like that naturally. He said one time a woman asked him if it would be rude for her to ask him to touch his hair. So it's like, you know, like normally it's like, oh, your hair is curly, yeah, touch that. This woman asked, can I ask you if I can to touch your hair? I was like, right, they're polite out here, boy.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, definitely go one day.
Definitely go. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Especially how you lot are into manga and all of that and anime. And
I love
I love anime. Enoch,
you love it.
He loves anime more than I do, to be honest. I think I only really watch two shows.
Yeah. I watch about 5, 10, 15.
So yeah, I'm not. Yeah, that's the next
Every
thing.
Time I was posting stuff, Enoch was like, message me, Sakura. And like, I was thinking, what is this? And I was thinking, what is this? And then I must have said, like, I must have been speaking Japanese, like, small in one of the videos, and he was like, oh, you said hi, afternoon. Like,
what did you know?
He knew.
Naruto's teaching you Japanese now,
Not just Naruto.
It's Baruto.
Naruto, One Piece. All sorts, man. What else?
See, that's mad, because I watched Dragon Ball Super, The only word I know, I know how to say what in Japanese. Noni?
No, I think there's a different... It's like a different way of saying it. It's like slang, isn't
it? Sometimes I heard Vegeta say it so many times. He says that noni.
Yeah, but that's Vegeta. Vegeta's a rude guy.
So it'll be
a way of saying it that where you don't really respect whoever you're saying it to. So like you can say when you're describing yourself, when you're saying I, you can say watashi, atashi, ore, and
ore.
That's ore. So they're like, I could be like watashi wa Enoch, or ore wa Enoch, or atashi wa Enoch.
Does that mean I am Enoch?
Yeah, I am Enoch. Yeah. But watashi is like the formal way of doing it.
Okay.
Atashi is a feminine way of doing it. So women that are trying to be like basically
flirty,
flirty would say it that way.
Okay.
And then ore wa Enoch is basically something like Vegeta would say, Goku, fighters, people that are tough, like. Like basically army generals and
sick
colonels and stuff would say it like that.
I'd be having this theory. I really feel as if that a lot of Igbo people probably have some form of Japanese blood in them because of the similarities of their names.
Yeah,
I start thinking, wow, you man, you know Japanese or something? You got something in you?
Like even Morin,
I know Morin,
Kashiro.
Kashiro. Hi.
Wait,
we just said that.
I was learning it. It was sweet when I got it. It was sweet.
Yeah, mum's got Japanese in her.
But you know, I think, I read this article. You know, Chinese people, I feel like they're black, you know.
Chinese.
Hear me out. If you look at old, ancient, look at a Chinese person's features, without the color of their skin.
Yeah,
next time you see
their
one,
nose,
look.
Their noses,
their lips, their eyes. Like,
it's true.
Did you say Chinese or Japanese?
No, not Japanese. Chinese.
Okay, cool. We're not being ignorant here.
Yeah,
okay.
No. There's a distinct difference between Japanese people and Chinese people.
Chinese, I feel as if like the Japanese are far paler.
Yes. They're a bit more, I don't know if that's the right word to put, but like anglicized. They look a bit like facially, structurally, they look more like Caucasian people.
What, Chinese?
Japanese,
okay.
Do you know what I mean? They don't have like, they don't have
noses,
the
lips.
The noses, bit, the
yeah.
lips.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Quite mad.
But yeah, so that was me, man. What you guys been up to?
I was in Uganda.
Jeez.
A bit of Dubai and that. Uganda, Dubai. Do you know what
I
learned?
Like Dubai?
Yeah, I feel like I learned something from Uganda that was dope, but
good.
What was it? So like, obviously I told them about how we're doing that ancestry thing, and they're like, oh, that's cool. And then I was like, so I asked them, innit, because I basically asked them, so like, what are Ugandans, where did they come from, like how was the country? They're like, oh, okay, so there were four main tribes in Africa. Bantu people were one of them, Hamites were another one, and then Nilo, I forgot the other two, but those are the only two I remember. And this is where basically the Bantu people, that's where southeastern Africa come from. So like my country, Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania, Zimbabwe, all of that, even South Africa, a bit of it. And then you have others, which South Africa, but then Congo, and then a few others, and then like Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And then you have Hamites, which is basically like Egypt, Ethiopia, Eritrea, and all of them, like, kind of northeastern countries, yeah.
Yeah.
So the Horn of Africa. And then they were like, yeah. So I was like, Hamites? What's Hamites? And then my aunt basically Googled it. Like, we're having dinner whilst talking about this. She Googled it, like, on the spot there. She was like, oh, look at this. And she said Hamites are descendants of, like, they're literally straight. The name came from Ham, the son of Noah.
Mm. So I was just about to say that.
Yeah, so Ham... Ham and his family, obviously, they had children, whatever, but then they traveled down to Africa because you know how they're connected.
Yes.
Isn't it? They went down to Africa into the eastern. Yeah. And then someone asked me, when I told someone that the other day, yeah, they're like, wait, so does that mean that the Israelites were black people? And I said, well, it doesn't necessarily mean that. It's just, I said, because in the same way, like the gypsy people, they're obviously like, we see them as white people, but they actually originate from northern India.
Really?
Yeah.
But then where did the gypsies travel to, though?
Because they intermixed with the... So they travelled to Germany.
Which is where they would have got paler, though.
Yeah,
So,
yeah, so they stayed there, and then after they travelled over to, like, what, Ireland, England, and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, in the same way, the Hamites, basically, they would have come from Israel, whatever colour skin they are.
Okay.
They came down and then just lived in Africa. And then
you can tell, like...
Eritreans, Ethiopians, all of that, they're all descendants of Ham. Like,
of Ham?
Like, yeah, Ham.
Wow.
Or descendants of Noah, descendant of Adam, so...
Mad thing. So what, you know, the originals. So that means that potentially justifies that the Garden of Eden was in Africa then, no?
Not quite. Oh. Because the... No, close to, but not because
they would have traveled. Did they travel across? See,
but that's the thing is, I don't believe the Garden of Eden was a physical place.
Do you not think it was?
I believe that the Garden of Eden was also like the Kingdom of Heaven. Because remember, Jesus always said the Kingdom of Heaven is here.
Yeah,
and because of the way where he went, like miracles happened all over the place. Mm-hmm. So like he carried the Kingdom of Heaven with him, mm-hmm. and. When people sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were taken out of it, as in the kingdom of God would left them, and they had to, and that's when death came in, and that's when all these things came in, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But if it was like in a place, it would be close to Africa, but not quite there, like kind of Jordan slash so like around around Jordan, or maybe even like around Jordan, because. Talks about the river Euphrates and the land of Kush and all this stuff. And land of Kush, I think, is Ethiopia. So so it would be around. It would be near Africa, but not
in there, quite but in it.
Yeah, and the river Euphrates and another river, and some of these rivers were still in the land of like Canaan, basically.
Okay.
So the land of Canaan is obviously Israel now.
Yeah.
So if the river was there. In the Garden of Eden, then it will be around that area.
Right. And not,
But it's quite,
That is an insightful.
But yeah, so they come out there. But I forgot the name. I forgot who the Chinese people, Asian people were descendants of the.
Who? What was your.
So they had children, but.
So they. Gone.
My people. So I forgot the name of the Chinese. Because
remember when we was doing it and Chan was talking about Southeastern Bantu. So yeah, okay, that clarifies that.
So
then.
Yeah, so basically it's like so Ugandans would come from Southeastern Bantu.
Okay.
The Bantu people.
So what between Dubai and Uganda, what did you prefer?
Uganda.
Yeah.
Dubai was good.
Mm. I get mixed
at home.
I get mixed reviews about Dubai.
Dubai was good.
Yeah.
But I think it's more of if you've got money you'll enjoy it.
Right.
If you've got money, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can enjoy it to an extent when you don't, like when you have a bit of money.
Like us, man.
Yeah, like we can still enjoy it. We can still do stuff. But if you've got like money, like if you've got oil money, you'll enjoy it. If you're rich, money. You'll enjoy it. Yeah, because you get to like do whatever, innit?
Mm.
But yeah, no, it was still good. I think the people there were polite.
Could you live there?
Yeah, I could live. I think I could live anywhere, but
I get that about you. I feel like
yeah, I feel kids, like I could live anywhere.
I really feel like you could go to Japan and just like get lost in it. I really feel like you should go.
I want to go
and like
I'll start a church.
You could
there.
Potentially find a wife there, you know, because you know Enoch's into Asian girls.
You hearing this, girls?
So it makes sense.
But yeah, no, I could. I don't know. I could live there. I could live in Uganda, but I haven't found out where I want to live just yet. I'm going to stay here until I'm ready to until move out. Ready.
Do you feel like... Go on. I thought you looked like you were about to say something.
No, I wasn't. I just thought it was you guys were going to ask me what I've been doing.
Oh, what have you been doing, Afo?
Not much, just working. Yeah, I've just been working and, you know...
Do any of the colleagues that make decisions about your career listen to this podcast?
To make decisions about my career, listen to this podcast.
Management, basically.
Management,
influential.
No.
Okay, influential, good. So how's work been going? And tell us about your work.
I've learned over the past few months not to make work your God, which is what I basically did. I didn't do it on purpose, but I always felt as if that there were certain goals that I wanted to reach and certain things I wanted to do. Like I think I've spoken on here before that I always wanted to buy a house. I really wanted to buy it early, and you know that hasn't come to fruition yet. But I was always like working like silly hours, and you know just missing important things. Like I was missing like worship, like bare times. I wouldn't even see these guys just because I was working so much. And then just a few things happened. You know. My manager left. I don't really mind this being on the podcast because I've never listened to this. But my manager left abruptly after we all received our pay rises and bonuses. Let's just say he wasn't happy.
That you got money?
No, he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy with the pay rise. He was happy with the bonus. I know where he got as a bonus. It was nice. Mm. Nice bonus. But his pay rise was awful. And it was for everybody. Mm. So... that caused a lot of disruption in the team. I thought I was going to get his position. I didn't get it. And it's not as if that I was like, oh, yeah, now I'm going to become manager. Nah, it's just that we had that meeting and then I was told that it wasn't me. And I was like, I can't lie, I was really annoyed. But after that, I just learned that I shouldn't make work my God. And I work within my 9-to-5 now. You know, I'm sorting myself out in terms of what I want to do next, but it's definitely not where I'm working. Mm. But that's what I've been up to. And obviously because I was traveling a lot, and anyone that follows me on Snapchat, you'll see that I'm always in Paris or I'm always in Brussels just working. Mm. And I just thought, like, I realized that I've just been doing it completely wrong. Like, I feel as if that I wasn't really trusting God to do these things. Like, obviously, obey, do your job, but then I was just doing much more and thinking that it's in my hands. Yeah. It's not really. So, yeah, I just learned, man. And I'm not doing that, like, anymore. Now I'm available. I'm free, like, all the time because I'm only doing 9-to-5 or I be interviewing, so I'm not in the office all the time.
Jeez.
So,
New jobs on the horizon.
Yeah, hopefully I get some good news next week.
Sick.
But yeah, that's what I've been up to. I'm gonna try to be like Michael and Enoch and go on trips and holidays and that. I'm going to Toronto in August, so I'm looking forward to that.
Litty. And New York possibly.
New York possibly in October, but that's gonna be like a solo trip. I've been looking
You're going by yourself?
Yeah, I'm going by myself.
Is it?
I'm going by myself. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I've been looking at the prices as well. Like,
it's not that expensive.
It might have to be a hotel thing because the Airbnbs are getting locked off, man.
Is it?
Yeah, everywhere. Manhattan, Brooklyn. People are using them around the time I want to go. So it might just have to be a hotel for me. Yeah, so. But it's definitely something I'm thinking about and I should do because normally in around October, like, the plane tickets aren't too expensive. So probably cost me around like £300, something like that to go. But yeah, New York is definitely... it's definitely happening this year. It has to happen.
Because you've been saying it for a little while.
I've been saying it for ages, man.
I wouldn't go to New York, you know.
You don't want to?
I wouldn't feel too special going there. Like,
you know what? I feel that way. Yeah, like... because it's very much like London.
Too special. I don't want to, like...
but go.
I think it depends on the person. No, I still want to go because I think it really depends on the person and, you know... like you guys, I think...
It's a bigger London for me.
I love London.
So that's what I'm saying. People, yeah. If you love London and you love the city of London,
yeah.
You will love New York.
Yeah,
New
so
York,
for yeah. me, it's
for
like...
For me, London, I'm like...
I can see you guys in the countryside. Like, I can't do countryside things. I'm a city boy.
I love the countryside.
Yeah, I'm a city boy. I can't do the countryside.
Dwell by the oak tree.
Yeah. I can't do that. The furthest I could do, yeah, is like live in a suburban area, but I still got to be at least
commuting,
30 minutes away from the city.
Yeah.
That's just me. I just can't do anything. Mm. I can't live out the city, man. Mm. So going to New York would be on my bucket list.
Sick.
Because I'm going to Toronto. I'm going to another city.
Toronto's going to be sick where we go.
Yeah.
Two things out of what you said about like housing. Yeah. Those are two things that I've been like housing and work. Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are two things that I've been really like thinking about lately. Yeah. In all my time since starting work, I've been like, okay, I really want to save for a house. I'm saving for a house. But I'm starting to really rethink this whole buying a house thing straight away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that, yeah, is like the UK, typically, out of all our other European countries, we're the country that buys houses the most. We place a lot of importance on buying property in this country.
Yeah.
Whereas like Belgium or France or, you know, other Scandinavian countries, whatever, countries in Europe, they don't place as much importance on purchasing a house. They rent, they're normally quite rent heavy.
Yeah.
So I understand why people want to buy property, because you want to get on the ladder. You don't want to be paying money to a landlord all the time and all of that kind of stuff. But I feel like when you buy a house, it ties you to that country. Like, yeah. You're going into a 25-year contract with your bank to say, look, I will provide you X amount of funds every single month to pay off of this house that I've just bought.
Mm.
And I feel like I'm starting to think about what can the finances that I'm saving, where can I best allocate them to somewhere else rather than just on property right away.
Yeah.
I think we have this thing of like, I need to get on the ladder, you know, by 21. I need to get on the ladder by 28 or whatever. But it's just a house.
I think.
Do you know what I mean?
But I think that it all ties down to where you see yourself in the next few years.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Because like, I think everybody, okay, you're 25 now.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably thinking about settling down. I don't know if you are. Okay, I do know if you are. But that laugh is out to you.
Oh my days. Anyway.
You don't know who you are. You do, but you're playing games. Anyways, that stays in the recording as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that stays in the recording.
But it depends on where you want to be.
Good. It depends on where you want to be.
It depends on where you want to be in the next few years. Like yourself and your partner, do you share the same vision in terms of what you want to do? If you two don't mind renting together, cool. You know,
but if you haven't got, but I'm talking about like you're too.
Okay,
I'm
even about if you're
like
talking about
as I am now.
Okay,
like
even as you are now.
Yeah.
Like as you are now, nobody can afford, unless if you're making peas.
Mm.
Nobody can really afford to buy them by themselves, unless if you go through like shared ownership. Which is something that I've spoken to you guys about in the past. Like, it's something I've considered because I, like, as individuals, we can afford to go into shared ownership.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll own a piece.
A piece.
You won't own all of it, but you own a piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as an individual, it's not something that you can really do unless you go through shared ownership. So it depends on your mindset and where you want to go and what you want to do right now. For me, I don't even know anymore, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I've been talking about a house since I was 21. I've been working for a while, so I still live with my parents, you know. So.
And it's like, does the work that you do, like, because the reason why I'm thinking about what you said with work, because like, look, you've got a house here that you want to buy, you want to get onto the property ladder, but then if you're in work that you're not, like, one of the things I was at a party yesterday, and one thing that someone said to me was like, I will never work for money. Money must come, but I want to be working for something greater. So if you're in a position where it's like, oh, okay, I'm just working for this piece, I'm just working for this paycheck to paycheck situation, yeah, like, and you've got a house, it's your life becomes burdensome. Do you know what I mean? Because it's not like you're working in something that you want to do. It's more like, oh, I've saved up the money to buy the house.
Yeah.
I've got the house now, and now the work that I'm doing is to pay off of that. So it's like you're working for money.
Mm.
Whereas I feel like, I think some of the things I learned from traveling is when I was speaking, like we met a few Belgian people out in Sri Lanka, and they were just like, they just had this freeness about them where they weren't like worried about getting on the property ladder, or they weren't like worried about, you know, they were more worried. Their concern was more about how do I live my life now to the fullest, like in terms of going away on the weekends. You know, we go up to the mountains on the weekends. We stay there. I know it's a different like lifestyle out there, but it makes me think: are we too focused on obtaining certain goals
that we're gonna die and then they'll be
and yeah, that we're not. We're living the length of our lives, but not the width of our lives. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, what's stopping you like next weekend from going to New York? Or what's stopping you?
I mean, I could go for a weekend. No, you could, of course. Yeah.
But it's like, when we think about our lives, do we think about them in this linear sort of go to school, graduate, get married, get a house, work, retire, then enjoy my life? Or are we in the midst of, I haven't got a house yet, but you know what? I've got a little bit of money. Let me go and travel somewhere. Or I've got a bit of savings. Let me invest that into something else rather than, do you get what I mean? Basically, my question is, are we living our lives in a linear fashion rather than exploring all the avenues that make our lives more interesting or more full?
Your friends in Belgium, do they have any form of security?
What do you mean?
In terms of, you know, let's say that they run out of money, have they got anybody to that?
I think so. They're getting married next year, yeah.
Okay.
And they haven't got a house yet. One of them, her parents run their business. I don't know if the parents are well off, but the parents run a business. But again, what's stopping us from starting our own business?
I get that. But I feel as if that there has to be, for them, they have, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, she knows she has something backing her up. Should anything go wrong, her parents are still there. I feel as if that, obviously, I think I mentioned this in the past year, I'm fourth generation Black British in this country.
Yeah.
But even though I'm fourth generation, I feel like second generation.
Yeah.
Because my mum was born here, but then she went back and then she came back to give birth to myself and my sisters. Yeah. Yeah. So it's very, we don't have anything. What I'm trying to get to.
Right.
We don't have anything. My parents work. Mm. All they have is this house. Is the house that we live in. Yeah. They own that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in a sense, I can't fall back on my parents like that. Their idea of success is to push their children to be the best that they can be and live a linear life. Live a life of going to uni, getting that job, then getting a mortgage, because that's all they know.
Right.
Now, this is not me dismissing the fact that we know more, because our perspective of life is different. But this is me just saying that, you know, really, I'm really emphasizing that people's lives and people's experiences and where they are in at this time is different. So, of course, what they know is what they will pass to their children.
Yeah.
So I can't blame my parents or any other African parents telling their children that they have to go to school and they have to get a job and then get a mortgage, because that's all they know.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, I'm on your side, and I fully agree.
Because I think that's where the change is now happening.
Yeah.
I think it happens with us, because, like, for example, I would not have gone to Sri Lanka if I didn't speak to my colleagues. It was my colleagues that recommended, I've been to Sri Lanka. I saw their Instagram photos. And these are guys that live outside of London, countryside. You know, they've come to London to work for the company I work for. But without speaking to them, I would never even know, what business do I have there? Like, the thing is, we say, like, if you ever tell a Jamaican, especially an old school Jamaican, like, you know, I'm going to Sri Lanka, their first like response is, "What you're going there for? Like, where y'all go there for?" Because it's like, there's no family there, so why are you going? But do you know what I mean? "What y'all go there for?"
There's no family there.
Had I not gone there, my horizons wouldn't have been expanded.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm just trying to get at the point of, like, we can live life now. Do you know what I mean? We don't have to constantly be waiting for these big milestones in our lives for us to then finally find the joy in it, or the happiness in it, or the excitement in it. Do you know what I mean? We can actually take control of that right now.
It's better to live our lives now because we're young as well. We're capable of living them. Like,
full life.
When we're like old, are we going to be able to climb mountains? Remember when we went to Marrakesh and we were doing that mountain?
Fam, that was so wavy.
I don't think I'll be able to do that when I'm retired at 60 something. I'll be like, I'm tired.
It's funny, I was telling my sister that as well, because my older sister, she's not the type of person to like really travel. And I'm telling her all these places that I'm going to this year. I'm like, yo, you want to create memories for yourself. Because when you're 60, when you're old, and
you want to be able to reminisce and know that, oh, man, I really lived a good life when I was young, I really explored, I learned different things. And I feel as if that, you know, the one thing that we can definitely pass on to our children is the idea of exploring, because you learn more. Yeah. Your mind is expanded. You learn so much more because you're not in this box, London. You don't live in this box that is London. You know more than London.
Yeah.
Yeah. You learn that there's much more to life than London. There's much more to life than what you thought initially.
Yeah.
Like when you go out, when you go to places like India, you see the way the people are. When you go to place to like Japan, you're like, "Wow, these people are different." And you have a new outlook on life.
Mm. Yeah.
But unfortunately, a lot of people, what they know is Africa and England.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Africa and England.
Yeah. Cause I don't want to say Nigeria, because literally it's the same. Ugandans do it. Like Ugandans have the same thing. They go, "I'm going to Uganda. You know, Uganda's fun." Like, yeah, Uganda is fun, but go China.
Yeah.
Like, go this place, go that place. Yeah. Like, don't spend all your money traveling to one country.
I think that's the advantages of being Westernized, you know.
What?
Go out. I want to go bare places. I want to go Ireland. I want to see what's that like.
No, I want to go Australia.
Like, I actually really want to go to Ireland.
I want to go Australia as well.
I really want to go Australia.
Let's just go.
Yeah, let's go.
It doesn't take anything. Friday.
This isn't making it to the podcast. I got a ting out there in Ireland, but yeah, this is not making it to.
That's going to come in.
That's exactly why it's going to be in the podcast.
How
do you have a ting in Ireland?
Oh, hey, listen, Twitter's amazing. You know, I know people
that have been engaged via learning million people on Twitter. You know, I know people who have been engaged.
Really?
Because they met people on Twitter. Yeah.
Really? Yeah, nice.
Like, Michael, like when you went to Machu Picchu, is it Machu Picchu?
I don't have a ting.
I want to go Machu Picchu. Guatemala.
Yeah. Is it? Okay, you want to go to Machu? Okay,
Machu is near there.
She's a friend in
South American countries, like
Brazil. And you know what?
You've been Brazil, haven't you?
I've been to Brazil.
Yeah.
Like, it's sick. It's just nice to open up your horizons just to see something different. Because then you kind of come out of the bubble. Like, you come back to work and you realize, right, there's actually people out there who are making peas, more peas than I am. And they're living a completely different life. Mm-hmm. And they're living more of a holistically, sweet life.
That's why I could never look down on somebody if they said that, "Oh yeah, I'm just gonna go traveling for like a few months." Like, I don't know where you're making your money. Who am I? Like, my view of how you make money is not gonna be the same view as someone else. Like, it's just that's the
weather
beauty
is the
of
key
life.
Thing as well. Weather is a key thing. I think the reason why a lot of people, I'm not saying depression don't happen everywhere, you know, because in Japan, you know, there's a suicide park in Japan.
Yeah.
Did you go to it?
No. You can actually do tours through it though.
Yeah.
But them lot been doing suicide from day
because they don't express their feelings.
Yeah,
they're very
reserved
culture, which is the negative side of all the good that's there.
Because them man just work all the time.
They work.
They are work.
Fam, it's like 11:30, 12 p.m. at night, and I still see man walking back home in their suits from work. I'm like, what are you lot doing? It's mad. But the weather plays a key part. Like, you know, last week when we were having good weather, what happens? You're immediately happy.
Yeah.
But when this country, because there's no heat and all of that, you just, especially us as black people, I feel like we're not supposed to be in these sorts of environments.
This is not our land.
It's not our land. For more reasons than one, to be honest, and not just the weather. But, you know, weather does a good job as well. Makes you feel good.
Just nice.